Are we on?
Yep, we're recording.
Okay, greetings, people. This is Saffron Planet. It's now January the 20-something. 25th. We have two new ones. We have Joe Jones here from Manchester.
Hello.
Hello. And we have Peter Salmons.
From Hayvale.
Where are you from?
Hayvale.
Yeah, somewhere in Essex. And we have our number twos. We have Mike and Kate.
Top of the morning.
And we have the venerable, saintly Mr. Chris Hill.
Yeah, especially
applause.
Saintly.
The saintly Chris Hill, making a welcome return to Saffron Planet. We did put him.
Glad to be here.
We put him out to pasture 2 years ago, but he's come back fully refreshed and raring to go. And we thought we'd lead with a story that's been very much in the newspaper, as well as the Christian press, and that is, I'll just read the headline from the BBC News website. UKIP councillor blamed storms and floods on gay marriage. Okay, so that's the headline, and the byline is that a UKIP councillor has blamed the recent storms and heavy floods across Britain on the government's decision to legalise gay marriage. The chap in question is called David Sylvester, and I think he's now been kicked out of the party or kicked out of...
Suspended.
And the sad thing is, you can understand the secular press having a real field day on this, but apparently the Christian press has as well. And I know, working in the media, Christian media outlet that I'm associated with, a lot of them there would actually agree with the secular view that why would God get involved in such things as storms and floods? Because he's never done it before, has he? Chris, so does God still work in our nation for whatever reason? Do you think he still does, or do you think, like the deists, God just sort of let the blue touch paper and just let us do our stuff, and then he went away and just occasionally comes back? Or is he thoroughly involved in his creation, even in the 21st century Britain? Do you have a view on this, Chris?
Well, I think it's all a mark of God's incredible mercy, frankly, that he's prepared to warn us. I certainly wouldn't use the word judgment, and I certainly wouldn't be specific to say that this is entirely down to our attitude to gay marriage, but I do honestly believe that the Lord is bringing all these disasters at whatever level into our nation. Because it's a warning to show what happens when we turn our back on God and try to go our own way. We turn our back on the Lord, and there is a sense in which he turns his back on us. Mm. And when that happens, and we end up in a godless situation, we can expect this kind of thing to happen. That's one dimension. Another dimension to it is that in the last days, we can expect all kinds of natural disasters because Jesus spoke of them. And so they shouldn't take us by surprise, but they should point us in the same direction, and that is to come back to the Lord before it's too late. And that, I think, is a warning to the nation.
So why do you think that Christians, in particular in our country, are not taking any notice or going against it?
Well, I think their approach is largely governed by political correctness. I think so many Christians are trying to make themselves relevant to the world, and in so doing are making themselves irrelevant to God. And it's sadly true. When Jesus talked about these last days and spoke of the love of most growing cold, it seems that he was talking about love for his word, which is a manifestation of our love for him. And once we turn our back on his word for the sake of pleasing the people around us, then we are fair game for anything. And it's tragic.
Yeah, Joe, you just...
That's what's happening.
When Chris talks, you can interrupt him.
Please do.
This is not a sermon.
Chris, I'd like to ask you about a passage of scripture in Leviticus 26, because there it outlines the five cycles of discipline of what will happen to the Israel nation if they do not seek the Lord. And the first stage is bad, and the second stage is worse, and the final stage is them being removed from the land. And that's very clearly directed to the Israel nation. However, do you think that we can extrapolate? Is that relevant to us as a nation now?
I think there are great creation principles, aren't there? principles that govern the nations as well as the nation, Israel. And righteousness exalts a nation. Therefore, unrighteousness will bring that nation down. And we see that happening throughout history. History has been one long succession of empires rising, coming to their zenith, beginning to decline and collapsing. And when God is left out of account, that's what always happens. And I think we see it now. Our nation, like any nation, is built upon pillars, pillars of society, some people call them, you know, education, the judiciary, the monarchy, the church, you name it, health, whatever. And if those are strong, then the nation will succeed. But if one or two of them begin to crumble, not such a serious problem because the others are strong. But if you have a situation where all the pillars are crumbling fast, then you have disaster for sure. That's the place we're in. And it's the result of our turning our back on God, because he is the creator and sustainer.
So have we done that? So in all these pillars, you think in contemporary Britain, we have actually done that? We've gone against every one of those pillars?
Everyone. I defy anyone to say this pillar of our society is standing strong, because it's not. They've all gone. So we're in a desperate state.
So is the answer, the only answer, revival then?
The answer is God. Whether he chooses to bring revival or not is another question. But repentance on the individual level has got to be the only way forward. Turning away from where we are, turning back to
him.
But
what about repentance on the corporate level, like the established church in our country?
Well, the established church in our country has failed God, so it's appropriate for the established church to repent.
Yeah.
But I personally don't have the faith to believe it will. Because the established church is not the same thing as the living, pulsing body of Christ.
Yeah. So do you think we're in a state now in the country where what has traditionally been the established church, which is the Church of England, is not relevant to God's plans for the UK at the moment? God doesn't see the Church of England as representative of his body in the UK. Do you think that's true?
Well, I think if you define the true church as the body of Christ, which is functioning, like Jesus let loose in the world with his righteousness and his ministry flowing, then you'd have to say that what we see as established church is not the same thing.
No.
And I think that's a very serious matter, which doesn't just affect the Church of England, it affects the church at large.
Yeah.
What we see as church is not the functioning body of Christ necessarily.
Okay, so have any denominations got it right, do you think?
Not as a denomination. No. I think the very use of the term denomination shows man-made patterns imposed. Mm. And once you start down that line, it's a line of diminishing returns, if you like.
Do we think denominations are a bit like countries and empires? They have their sort of foundational stage, they have their zenith stage, and then they have their decline stage. It does seem, doesn't it, that every traditional denomination now has got serious problems as regards understanding and praxis and approach to scripture.
Yeah.
And perhaps God is going to raise up something different in the future, and maybe it's not going to be obviously denominational. No.
Well, he's done it in the past, hasn't he? Mm. Because you see the history of the church being growth, stagnation, and then out of that, the Lord brings new life, usually with small groups of people who are determined to be disciples together. Mm. And they come together to repent, to feed in the word of God, to exercise the ministry of Jesus to one another and to the wider world. And then there is a season of success, season of blessing. And then what happens? The old man-centered thing comes along and stifles the life out of those small churches. And then the whole thing has to start again. Mm. And so the history of the church is like that.
Mm. I like the Moravians, because isn't it?
That's kind of what I was thinking of. Yeah, exactly the same. Yeah.
Their revival lasted for 200 years. And you go back to, well, what was different about them? Yeah. What was that? Why was that different from the Welsh revival, say?
Yeah.
You look at them and they were absolutely fastidious in studying the word of God.
Absolutely.
And in praying and in humility.
Yeah.
They had
24-hour prayer chains, didn't they? And the was it the first Bible notes came from them as well, like daily Bible studies, and so much actually came from them. And they, and that's where John Wesley got his inspiration.
I was just about to say that was one of the primary things that impressed him, wasn't it, on that voyage to America, where he was involved with a group of Moravians, and just shattered him because he realised, well, if this is Christianity, what on earth am I into? And it was.
And I think it's right what you're saying about it's all about God. God is at the centre. And Zinzendorf's catchphrase was "One passion, Jesus, Jesus only."
There you go. Catches it beautifully.
So where are the Moravians today? Not literally, but the equivalent, the modern day equivalent of the Moravians. Are there? I mean, there was the house church movement that tried to break free from the structures, but now they have become part of the structure. You know, what apart from foundations, of course, what other group are there?
Well, I think as a large group, you'd have. I would not be able to point to a large group and say, "Well, they are functioning as they should." So that means that the challenge is personal. Where do I fit into that? If I can't point to a group of people that are functioning in that way, what about me? And for me, the only answer can be when I hear other people saying the same thing, then I have to say to myself, does the Lord want me to be relating to them if they live physically close enough? So that together, as people who are being moved by the Spirit, we're able to respond to the Lord and do what he wants done.
Because we do hear of groups like that, and but a lot of them, a lot of people are isolated. And before before we did our foundations thing, a lot of people who came to foundations said, well, for years they've been, they've had to leave their church on a particular issue, and they've never managed to find anyone in their area where they can worship with and talk to. So we've seen a very slow sort of growth of this sort of thing, and we're just hoping that this could be part of something new, and that we could be a part of all this. And perhaps, you know, anyone listening to this broadcast, we just urge you to come to our conference, Foundations 5, is it? www.foundationsconferences.com. I thought I'd slip an advert in there because what you are talking about, Chris, is what we all, everyone here, stands for and want to see happen in our country. And
Just to come back to the original question, I think I'd agree with what Chris said at the beginning, which is that it's perhaps a little bit dangerous to be highly specific about a particular flood is God's punishment for X, because there are so many things which God might choose to punish us for. But I think that counsellor perhaps had it sort of generically right, that there are consequences that arise from deciding to take on God, or as an elderly uncle of mine once put it recently, throwing mud at heaven. So I think probably the entire Western world, which is built upon Christian foundations, which has now thoroughly rejected those foundations, that there must be enormous consequences. And I personally wonder whether our nation is shortly going to come apart at the seams. I may have said this before, but obviously we have this Scottish referendum coming up, and God may well be about to humble our nation.
I've always said one thing, I've heard other people say it, is that I still believe that God has a hold in our country because of the coronation oath, because Queen Elizabeth II, who is a Christian, who prayed this oath in 1952, you know, on the Bible, and she meant it, and it's pretty clear that when she hands over to Charles, that that is going to go. There's no way he's going to swear on the Bible and uphold Christian principles. So, in a sense, as a country, I believe that's when God will take his hand away from our country.
Well, we need to keep praying for them, don't we?
That sort of touches on what I was feeling just now when you were saying about the need for us to be getting our act together and a number of people feeling it around the place and you meet them. The word that was just buzzing in my head was determination. And I detect in myself as well as in others that that's a bit lacking. In other words, I can see the problem, I can see the answer, i.e. meeting with fellow brothers and sisters with a common mind, coming before God, repentant, seeking his face, moving out in the power of the Spirit. But I don't do it. The determination factor. How deeply do I want this? If I want it, then I'm prepared to make all kinds of sacrifices in order to get it. I think that's the question. How serious are we in what we believe in?
I like Leonard Ravenhill when he said, one of these days, some poor, simple soul will read the Bible and believe it.
Yeah. Oh, I love, you know, I think it, who I can't think who it was, but it was one of these guys who missions a lot in Africa, and he was challenged in this country. Well, why is it that you seem to have such amazing results in Africa amongst the simple people, and over here, when you preach, nothing happens? And he thought for a moment, and he said, well, I tell you what it is as regards Africa. Those people are too ignorant to know that it's impossible.
Right. So we are too sophisticated, and, you know, and this is, you know, the Greek thing, isn't it? We've grown to rely so much on our own brains and our rational thing. And this is what's got into the church, and this is why the idea that God can create floods and all that is an anathema to in many cases the Christian mind as well, because when I've seen some of the comments from my fellow Christians that I don't believe a God who would do that, that type of thing, and I don't know anyone
how
who,
can a God of love do that.
Yeah,
but I like what you just said a couple of minutes ago, that it's not that God is doing that to us, it's that he's lifting his hand of blessing up, and Satan will get in as soon as he can. And it is also God's mercy, because as soon as these things start happening, what happens? We turn back to God. And that's what really matters.
So perhaps then that's when Christians will start taking it seriously, when bad things start to happen.
I'd like to think so.
Because we're just too comfortable at the moment, perhaps.
I think it's sort of challenged me on a very personal level. It's easy to sort of look at the nation and say, oh, people are not seeing it as God. What about me? You know, whether it's good or bad, do I have, you know, it's challenged me, how much do I really think God is a personal God who's personally involved, because he's the creator, because he's the God of a nation of Israel who he has formed for himself and done things in them through history to shape them for him. And the challenge for me that God, you know, it wants to act in my life in the same sort of powerful personal way. And if I, you know, this UKIP chap who says, you know, God's, it's God's hand, do I, you know, whether I know that the floods are related to a specific thing, like you said, do I actually believe this is the kind of God who, when he chooses, can, you know, the push of a button, but, you know, in a moment, we've got every day on the news you hear about, you know, oh, we're financially, we're making a comeback. You think we're on the brink, we're on a tightrope balancing, and we could come off at any moment when God chooses. And that's what people generally, whether we're Christians or not, don't have that understanding, that actually God is, you know, for good and bad, you know, from our perspective. And I think it's been a real personal challenge to me, not just these news events that we're talking about, but just generally the teaching that I've been receiving through the foundations and all the kind of people that do believe that God is a God of fulfilling prophecy. You know, it's been a very personal challenge to sort of think, actually, God's involved in my life personally, and good or bad that happens in my life, God is involved. He is, you know, I sort of grew up most of my Christian life thinking, I've been quite challenged to think, actually, I grew up thinking in a sort of a deist way. As much as I grew up in an evangelical church, it's really sort of taken this long to start thinking God really will touch my life personally and those around me in terms of faith and praying. For me personally, sort of to get to that point of, where's this group of people that are praying? I can do that, but what about my own walk? It's very difficult sometimes when we look at the daily things of life and think, is God there or is he distant, you know?
Goes back to what Chris said, it's about determination. It starts with the individual, isn't it? And it's easy for someone
how
to start.
How do we handle conviction? You know, you can be convicted by the Holy Spirit. What do we do with it? Do we just say, okay, that's that, then turn away, like looking in a mirror and turning away?
Well, they need to know that there are structures in place where they can be a part of, or create the structure, or just phone people around of like-minded and form a group.
Start where you are.
But the thing is, we don't hear too many of these groups yet. And I still think, you know, apathy is, I think, something we talked about in the last broadcast, is that, you know, that's our default state. You know, even Christians, apathy, you know, it's, things seem to be going okay. I go to church once a week. I, you know, I tick all the boxes. Surely God hasn't doesn't want me to do any more than that. But I think he does. I think we've just been sucked into the world and more interested in entertainment in our lives, really. Mm. And that's the Christian world as well. Entertainment has taken over. Mm. Where people will skip to one church to another because they're not being entertained or they're not being fulfilled in their particular church, and not realising that, you know, God's perhaps is telling you, you know, to work things out yourself and not sit there passively wanting to be entertained or fed by other people, which is why, again, to our next conference, we have, in fact, two people here, Chris and Joe. We really want to stretch the idea that people who come to the conference should come in expectation of change in their lives, not simply by hearing the pearls of wisdom from Chris's tongue, as you know, Chris will always feed people with the correct spiritual messages, but with Chris and Joe together to encourage people to explore more spiritual aspects of their lives and their spiritual gifts, and we want it to be a safe place. We don't want people to think, oh, it's going to be a bit weird, I'll be taken out of my comfort zone. And you know, you always have the choice of going for a walk if there's something there that you're not comfortable with, or should always know that we wouldn't do anything that we feel God is not behind. So particularly if we've got some great mature men of God coming, you know, apart from Chris, we've got David Andrew, who goes, I mean, you've known him for what, 30 years or something?
Long time.
And you've been part of national initiatives with him, haven't you? The church get ready.
Yeah, exactly.
So you know, we're really blessed to have David there, and hopefully there'll be other, you know, strong men and ladies of God. And so you know, I think, you know, we're all potentially strong men and ladies of God, and we should, you know, be there to feed each other and to be prepared to take charge and to get out of our comfort zone and you know, have grow determination, as you said.
I must say, I'm you know, quite excited by the theme. I have to say, Chris, you said earlier, you know, often we don't think of word and spirit together.